When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich laird.
How am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is May Madness, where I bring you a new story and storyteller every day of the week, because I'm obsessed with stories, and I can't wait to share more with you. The fairy tale sponsor for this episode is Van Winkle Sleep Institute. Some beauties can fall asleep at the prick of a spindle, but if you don't have that gift and are tossing and turning until the witching hour, then come to Van Winkle Sleep Institute and experience the best sleep you've had in 100 years. This episode is also brought to you by the Patreon supporter Nora Dooley. If you've been keeping up with this week's stories, you heard her telling on Wednesday, and she is both a generous storyteller and patron. If you would like to become a supporter of the podcast for as little as $4 a month, you can find links on storystorypodcast.com and hear me read your name and thank your beautiful face for the world to hear. Some of the best stories leave you a little creeped out, frightened, or chilled. The story for Frighten Me Friday is by Kevin Cordy, who has told stories and taught storytelling around the world. On this episode, he will be telling a story from Japan, The Snow Woman.
In Japan, there were two woodsmen. One was much, much older, but wiser. And his son, his adopted son, would listen to all the words that he provided. And he would go out with his father, and they would cut down the woods. It was a quiet night at first, but soon the animals knew that the frost was coming. And he looked at his son and said, "I can tell something's going on. We need to go back. It's going to get cold." And no sooner than he said that, the wind began to pick up. At first it was light, but it began to be ferocious. The wind was blinding. It was a blinding snowstorm, and they trudged the way to get back. And he said, "I know the way, come. I hope the ferryman's there." For you see, there was a tumultuous river that they had tried to build a bridge, but the water would raise, and it swept the bridge away. So now there was just a little ferryman's hut that would help carry them across. But when they got through the blinding snow, they could barely see the hut. And he looked, and he noticed the ferryman wasn't there. "Son, come quickly. Get into this hut." It didn't have a fireplace. It barely had a door. It had one open window where the wind would rush through. But he had one blanket that he uncovered. It wasn't much. They were wearing their straw hats, and they bent down, and the rain and the snow, you could hear it. It was like an echo chamber. And he said, "He'll have to be there in the morning. He'll take us across. We'll have to sleep here. It'll be cold, but I'll put my arms around you. Just stay warm and try to sleep." And he was older, and pretty soon sleep came upon him. But the boy stayed awake. He could hear all the wind and the snow, and it was unsettling. And it was long into the night, when his eyes were starting to drift away, when he heard the sound. And he thought he was dreaming. But he was awoken when the door shattered into 1,000 pieces. And he looked at the far end, and there was a woman who at first looked beautiful, with long black hair. She had piercingly, ghostly white skin. She was white all over, Her eyes set her apart, for one had to look at them and know you could not look away. And she glided across the floor, not moving, but gliding. And she reached one pale, white, outstretched hand, and she lifted that old man like he was nothing. And she picked him up, and she looked at him, and she saw how old he was. And she looked at him, and she picked him up, and she took a giant breath, and she breathed onto the old man, and the old man's face and body froze. And one could see the life of the old man leave as this white, ghost-like woman stole the life. That's when she noticed the young man and saw the life in his eyes. And she reached to pick him up, and she stopped, and she said, "His life was almost over, but yours has just begun. I will leave you be, but tell no one, not even your own mother, what you have seen tonight, or I will return, and I will come back, and I will take what I didn't today." And the wind carried her off, and she left just as she arrived. The next morning, the ferryman came. Despite the wind, he saw the blown-off door, and he saw the man, the young man, holding the lifeless body of his father. And he could barely say anything except, "Take me away. Take me away." And he went back to his mother. He was the only one left to work. So every day in the early morning, he would come out and he would cut the wood. And he would bring it back and they would sell what they could. And it took many, many years, but he tried to forget what he'd saw. And he told absolutely no one of what he saw. And one particular night, many years later, he saw a young lady wearing just a small cap above her head. You could look at her and tell that she was lost. And he approached her ever so quietly. And with each step, he noticed her beauty. He noticed her. He said, "Miss, can I help you?" He said, I'm lost. I'm trying to get my way to the city, and I'm not sure where I am." And he said, "Well, I know the way, but it's far. I would like to take you home and give you a quick meal. I can tell you haven't eaten, and I'd like you to introduce you to my mother, and then we'll let you be on your way." He took the young lady, and he went back to their small home, and the mother, although advanced in age, smiled when he saw her. And they ate together, and she told her story. She said she was an orphan, and she had no parents, and she was heard the rumor that she had an uncle that might take care of her, but she wasn't sure. She stayed a week, and another week, and as the woodsman would come back, he would look forward to sharing his day with her. He would share about the animals that he'd saw, and they would build the fire together. And the mother got older and older, and soon weeks became months. And in truth, they became years. And the mother was on her deathbed when they professed their love for each other. And soon after, they married and had 7 children together. And she was sitting by the fireplace, waiting for him to get home. He was carrying all the wood, and when he got home, he looked at her and all his children, and one of them a baby yet to come. She was knitting something for the baby. And either it was something about the fireplace or the way the fire glistened, he realized then how happy he was. And he looked at her, and he said, "Dear, just the way you're sitting, just the way you look, reminds me of a time, a long time ago. It seems to be a fading memory, but my father, you never met him. We were hunting one day," and he began to tell him the story, and she began to knit. But she began to knit, and she would pound and poke harder and stronger into the fabric as the story was being told. He would tell her about the father, and he got to the point of the snow woman who came in. The snow woman, also known as the Yuki Anana, the spirit that takes your life away. And at that point she rose, and her glistening eyes started to change, and her skin became pale white, and she looked at him and said, "I told you never to tell anyone." And she lifted him above like it was nothing. "I now must take what I didn't before." And as she held him, she heard the sound of their children and the child yet to come. And she looked at all her children, and she said, "I will grant you mercy to raise our children, because they are ours." And she left as she glided out. What became of her, one never knows. He never married, but ever now and then he could hear. He swore he could hear the snow say, "Take care of them." And he raised his family. And as a result, he never saw her again.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story podcast. Show the love. Find Kevin Cordy on the internet. Tell him you heard him on the podcast and now want to hear him tell more stories. You can find me and the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. The idea for this week's fairy tale sponsor came from the beautiful brain of Christina Vincent. Check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors on social media and let me know the favorite story you have heard, or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you will hear them here soon. Like and rate the show on iTunes, head over to the website and join the mailing list for hidden goodies, and if you tune in, you will hear more stories next week. But until then, live happily ever after.
And Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.